At this time, the call is being recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group call on the 4th of November, 2014. On the call today, we have Olivi Kwame, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Pam Little, Graham Bunton, Jonathan Zuck, Sun Ikitu Ikepi, Andrew Miriam, and Anand Orlick. We have apologies from Tony Ornando. From staff, we have Steve Chan, Barry Cobb, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state their name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Terry. Is there anybody that has any changes to their statements of interest? Has anybody's company been acquired or acquired anybody's company or anything like that? All right, great. Thank you, and welcome to the call, and thanks for being on. We're moving ahead in terms of trying to suss out, if you will, the kinds of scenarios that might result in data requests, and then dig deeper into how those data requests might be processed. I'm sorry, did somebody say something? Okay. So to that end, on the last call, we talked a little bit about this flowchart and sort of building this out and trying to find the different contingencies that might occur, because we've got it as an objective to, anticipate as many of them as we can, obviously not all of them, but as many as we can so that we have processes in place to address the various issues that might come up, whether it be budget, confidentiality issues, et cetera, in requests for data going forward. To that end, Barry has constructed some sample data requests for us to discuss today and to begin to look at what a data request might look like. And so hopefully we can get some discussion going about how to improve them, how they might be phrased differently or structured differently, what kind of information they need to address some of the goals and concerns that have been raised in the past. And then the idea is to try to just go through the process and see how those data requests are received and what objections are raised, et cetera, so that we can try to go through the motions, at least, of understanding, what steps we might need to go through to actually get to the data. Does anybody have any questions about that? All right. So with that, I'm gonna hand it over to Barry.
Hi, thank you, Jonathan. This is Barry Cobb for the transcript. Before we get into just reviewing the use cases, I did want to just quickly touch base back again on this flowchart. It has been several weeks since our meeting in L.A. What I would ask for the working group members is to provide input to this. It's kind of a one-eyed or one-sided view about how this might work. When you take a first glance at this particular chart, it seems like the more complex area might be around budget or the financial implications of any of these requests, and maybe perhaps partly that's true, perhaps not. But, I think a lot of the substance in terms of what the working group's trying to accomplish focuses more on the top right-hand half, because a lot of these aspects do deal with some of the challenges that prior working groups have faced. And again, it's, we're not just focused on any one particular group here. A lot of these same principles or hurdles, I would say, apply to requests that ICANN receives, certainly as well as third party, and of course as well as contracted parties. So I do ask working group members to take a pretty detailed view the myriad of the multiple decision boxes or diamonds that we have here, and see if that logic makes sense to you. And you know, because this is a living process, if you will. Certainly, as we advance through our work here, and of course, as we start to dive deeper into some of these use cases about what data requests may look like, perhaps some of this logic will change. So, without a doubt, we're interested in your feedback. Graham, I see your hand is raised.
Yes, hi. Thanks, Barry. This is Graham for the transcript. In looking at this, it occurred to me, and maybe this is something we ponder, I worry it's a little bit chicken and eggy, but this whole start with this flowchart starts with a working group recognizing a need for data or metrics. But to me, the process starts a little bit before that, in that, you know, before something ever gets to a working group stage, there should be some, often, maybe, there could be some requirement for data in before the creation of a working group or someone, you know, so there's a party within the ICANN community that thinks something is a problem that gets floated up to the GNSO and they decide that a working group should take place. It would seem to me that part of that should have at least some data requirement or encouragement there for data within that process, so that, you know, I worry we get down this road as sort of, you know, maybe this is paranoid, but these expeditions or working groups become sort of a weird attempt to get at data. And we would want to be sure ahead of time that there is a problem that needs to be solved and that problem is material. And so we need to ensure that I think, you know, even prior to the working group formation, that there is a material problem that we can show exists. Thanks.
Thank you, Grant, and absolutely concur. The formal stage for that is the issue report. For those that aren't familiar with the working group guidelines or actually the bylaws that discuss how a PDP is formed, there are several inputs into how a PDP can be initiated, either from a directive from the ICANN board, from an SO or AC that sees a particular issue that is sent to the GNSO Council, and or the GNSO Council itself approves at least the initial step of a PDP, which is the issue report. So I definitely agree, and we can update that first box there to make it a little bit more generic or include the issue report stage, because without a doubt, access to data and metrics can help inform the policy process as to whether there really is a problem to begin with before a PDP is even initiated. So thank you. And Andrew, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, sorry, it took me a second to get off mute. I guess one of my initial kind of questions is if there's a burden of proof to get to the kind of the Z point where basically it stops. Is it? I'm just kind of imagining as a contracted party, you know, is their request accepted? And you hit no, and I don't know if that's request being denied by each contracted party or the contracted parties groups as wholes, or how that you get and are allowed to prove Z, but so I guess that's a question of itself, and then a sense that it shouldn't be overly burdensome. Proving that you can deny the request shouldn't be as burdensome as, say, fulfilling the whole request itself.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes, and again, this is kind of, I wouldn't call it the very first draft of this, as we made small cosmetic changes to this version, but the substance has still been the same. That particular decision component, I would probably state is more a reflection of what has happened in the past, and certainly I would, I think the working group should deliberate on how that is expanded and what are the criteria of a particular request, you know, whether it is extreme burden or something along those lines. So I would agree that that particular section of this particular flowchart could be expanded to understand what that additional criteria, or perhaps maybe it leads to two or three other decision boxes within that. But again, I think that this is more or less been a reflection of the past. Jonathan?
Yeah, and Andrew, it's I think it's less about someone of whom data has been requested proving anything. It's not a process that's meant to be an onerous process for the data requestee. It's more like, what are the issues involved, and can we come up with ways to address those issues? So, I mean, I this is like getting to yes is the point. So it's not meant to be an onerous exercise to get to yes. It's meant to be, can we, as this non-PDP working group, anticipate what some of the concerns and issues are, whether it has to do with resources available to, you know, clean and process the data, confidentiality concerns that would require a third party to do top-line analysis, et cetera, you know, what those various concerns might be and how we might actually address them. Because the point is not to figure out how to get to no. The point is to figure out how to get to yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. And I guess kind of trying to get back to my point, as I put in the chat, that in trying to get to yes, I wouldn't make it overly burdensome to say no.
What would an example of that be? I guess that's the. What can you make that concern less abstract for me, for us?
Yeah, I'm imagining a scenario in which you're requesting certain information, and basically have to build into the process. So a registry operator, in saying no, would have to provide some burden of proof that the no is allowed. This would have to be baked into the actual process. I'm hoping that we don't get to that point, I guess, in spelling this out more concretely.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because again, this isn't about a burden of getting to no. This is literally about trying to address the issues. By making more concrete, this is a conversation. This whole flowchart is a conversation that could happen in 5 minutes, right? I guess that's the point. Is can we suss out scenarios that might occur that would make it more difficult and address them so that it's no longer difficult? That's really the point. So I don't know what the. It's not a burden of proof issue. It's literally trying to understand. I think there's probably a presumption that if the data is useful to the, or if not essential to the work of the working group, there's a presumption that we should try to find a way to get to it. So a simple no is, I think, hopefully something that we won't get a lot of. But the point is to try and figure out how to address the legitimate concerns and actually find a way to use more data. So, again, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I guess I'm not sure what you mean by making it burdensome to say no.
I guess from a registry perspective, would want to retain the right to say if this was a voluntary request information, to simply not provide that. And not provide any necessary, you know, reasons for not complying, or initiate a longer conversation. Even if the conversation is the goal, if this is voluntary, it needs to remain voluntary.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not setting policy here, so we're not going to, the work of this group is never going to compel data that isn't required under contract today, right? I guess the hope is that we're trying to make it easier to share data so that we make better policy, which in the end, hopefully, is just as useful for the contracted party as it is for the community.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not trying to be
overly
intentional.
Let's just try to, try to suss this out. I mean, my concern is about phrasing it that way, starting from the idea of, well, it's just inconvenient, so I don't want to deal with it. I feel like is not the right way to think about the problem, that's all. So there isn't any enforcement mechanism to make anybody give any data, but the reason we're having these conversations is to make it easier to share data and make it less of an inconvenience to do so. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Graham, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Graham for the transcript. I'm thinking about how a request might work and sort of in the context of this conversation, in that, you know, we put out there's a request from a working group. We put it out to the registrar stakeholder group, which is probably the best forum, but doesn't also include all, ICANN contracted registrars. There are plenty that don't belong to that specific group. And then sort of is everyone within that group obligated to respond? You know, in which case we're forcing everybody to say, no, we're not doing that. You know, I can't see that working very well. I think you're only going to get people who be like, okay, this is a policy I care about, and I will contribute data. I think it's really hard to sort of ask for more than that from all those, you know, sort of various and sundry registrars that are you know, from a registrar perspective within the stakeholder group. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And I mean, and you've mentioned it before that some of the very small and the any request for data might be overwhelming. And I continue to think that's something we need to figure out how to address. I mean, because there's this conflict, obviously, between the principle of not overburdening anyone and not having, you know, all the requests go to the same people or somehow being discriminatory either. So, I mean, I think finding some recommended path for working groups. Again, remember all that this group can do is make recommendations for how future working groups interact with data providers. Contracted parties being, you know, one of those, or contracted parties being two of those. The idea is just to figure out what the best way is to ask. And so I welcome your input into what that would look like, right? I mean, I think that's why you're here is to help find the answer to the question that you're raising. Okay. So let's just make sure that that's one of the things that we figure out, because I think a couple of questions have raised a similar issue that isn't entirely reflected yet in this flowchart, which is the fact that this is, in theory, a request to an individual data provider and not to a group of data providers. And what is the implication of making that request to a group of data providers as opposed to a single data provider? I mean, some of these are going to be a request of WIPO, a request of contracting inside ICANN, et cetera, where there's one entity of whom data is being requested, and whereas some of these are going to be, we need enough data from registrars in order to get a sense of the situation so that we can devise good policy and what is a decent sample of that and what's the best way to go about getting that. So I think that's a very legitimate issue and one that hopefully we can discuss as a group to figure out what the best ways to handle that going forward so that we're not unduly burdening anybody or discriminating against anybody. Okay. Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's Barry. So, you know, I think with that discussion, which kind of takes us into the next part of our agenda, which is
segue.
Perfect segue for the use cases, and hopefully what we'll be reviewing through now and perhaps over the next couple of meetings and determine a... and determine a path forward. Steve, this is Barry, can you put the... thank you. I think one way to flesh out whether this flow diagram has any stability behind it is to exercise it with particular use cases, which is what we want to try to accomplish within this next exercise. So what you see before you and was sent to the list beforehand, and I do apologize for the tardiness of that being delivered, so I'm sure most haven't had a chance to look at it closely. But this really stems from our discussion back in L.A. After reviewing the flowchart about trying to put together some possible real or hypothetical use cases that we can try to flesh out some of the issues that were being discussed here now. So what we've come up with so far is basically three use cases. The structure here is kind of trying to highlight the particular types of requests or the attributes of a particular request that may happen, which is highlighted in column one or the gray column, such as, you know, what group is actually submitting the request, and to Graham's point earlier, perhaps even a fourth or, well, one particular use case in here, which I believe is the second one, is before we even reach the PDP stage that, you know, it's still at the staff level that's generating the issue report. But then, of course, the simple things like when is the date of the request and perhaps even kind of a desire out of this use case is perhaps that this becomes some sort of template that future working groups can use when they do recognize a need for data, because I think this would probably be a good documentation tool, because likely anything that goes outside of the working group's ability to acquire data will likely involve the GNSO Council to process this kind of request. So moving along, we have basically, you know, what is the policy or issue that's being explored? What are you trying to solve? What are some of the high-level reporting requirements? Who is responsible for that, for a responsible team? For instance, if it's a request to ICANN, would it go to compliance or GDD or something along those lines? Conversely, the data source, which is, you know, also applies to if it's internal to ICANN or some external source that might have ownership to that particular data. And then the bottom three rows are more intended, which we'll talk about in the future, but, you know, what would be the expected delivery date or a date by which the working group would need that particular data so that they can continue their deliberations, any kind of resource estimations, which would likely be filled out by staff and or the council depending on that type of request. And then lastly, if there's any budget considerations. So in short, there were three use cases that we've come up so far. We're open to other ideas for types of use cases as well, but I think the three that we've highlighted here kind of touch at least the three avenues that we have highlighted in the flowchart, you know, whether it's a request internal to ICANN, whether it's a third-party request or whether it might be a request to contracted parties. And these three use cases, I think, pretty much cover those three avenues. So the first one, I'll just talk about these at a high level first, and then we can jump down into the details. The first one is around the UDRP and URS review, which is likely going to be a real request. For those that aren't aware, the GNSO Council did pass I think about a year ago, to do a complete review of the curative rights protection mechanisms of UDRP and URS. At the time, there was momentum to just do the UDRP, but with the new GTLD program and the implementation of the URS as another curative mechanism, the council eventually agreed that they should wait 18 months post first delegation and combine the reviews all together. So approximately April of next year, I think staff will be assigned to, I think there was a small issue report created for that, but to generate a whole new issue report on the state of these curative mechanisms, as well as any other issues that may pop up into that issue report, which of course may eventually lead to a future PDP if there's any changes that are determined that the community may want to look at to improve or enhance those current policies. The secondary request is also a real-world kind of potential. Again, this is flowing out of the IRPPD working group. Basically, these are recommendations that the group had agreed upon, and just recently in L.A., the GNSO Council unanimously adopted all 18 recommendations. Currently, there is a public comment out for about these recommendations to help inform the ICANN board's deliberations before they consider approving the recommendations from the GNSO, as to after which, if they do, then ICANN staff will be assigned to implement these IRPP recommendations. So that's kind of the general high level for that particular use case. And then thirdly, which is probably at least hypothetical at this stage, but we wanted to make sure to maybe possibly cover the registries as well. But there is active work about the next round or subsequent round of new GTLDs. And potentially there could be data specific to registries and not just registrars that may help inform working group deliberations. As you can see, this one is pretty thin right now, so we would also welcome any feedback to help enhance these use cases as to possible data or metrics that might be required. Perhaps we need to flesh out what the issue is that's being explored or the issue to be solved. So in general, that's kind of the approach. Again, and we'll send out a follow email up to the list to ask if there's any other types of use cases that may help inform our own deliberations as we run through these. So with that said, I think just as an example, I'll dive a little bit deeper into the first use case about the UDRP and URS review. It does kind of touch on the three paths that have been outlined in the flowchart, and then we'll open up questions and then try to carry on discussions from there. So, I did kind of pretty briefly touch on the policy or issue being explored. Again, this is a possible PDP that may come up. To Graham's point earlier, I think it will be important that staff have access to particular data and metrics to better inform the issue report for the GNSO Council to consider whether a PDP will be formed or not on this. But at a nutshell, I did help author this first draft. I'm not the world's expert when it comes to UDRP or URS, but at least trying to think about it from an initial basis, I think it'd be important to try to understand what are the industry level or macro level statistics on the state of the industry as it comes to or as it, in regards to the complaints that are being filed through UDRP. So something that staff should probably take a look at first is to acquire the total amount of complaints from all the different UDRP and URS providers, understand some of the details of was the complaint in favor of the complainant, or was it in favor of the respondent? You know, what are the outcomes? What are some of the other types of characteristics of complaints that were filed? Were they withdrawn? Were some closed down because there was a court case filed that trumped the UDRP or URS filing? There has been a lot of talk recently about certain organizations being found in of reverse domain name hijacking, which could be a potential issue that a future working group would want to maybe take a look at. Another possible component that would probably help inform the issue report is, you know, what has ICANN compliant, contractual compliance seen from a UDRP perspective, from at least a complaint intake perspective. There are certainly different types of who is accuracy complaints that are often tied to issues with cyber squatting. There as well as complaints where particular names weren't transferred, even though a UDRP outcome had stated as such. And there may be a few other categories that I'm not exactly familiar with, but the idea would be to engage contractual compliance and basically request, you know, give us everything UDRP, URS related. And then the third type of possibility might be to reach out to other industry sources such as INTA or other trademark or intellectual property organizations that may have data relative to better inform the issue report as it relates to infringements of those rights. So, again, that was kind of a high level in terms of any report requirements. The next section is really kind of just a derivative of the prior, is to just, you know, who is the team or possible source of those particular data. Expected delivery date, resource estimation, I don't know is important for us to discuss here, but may be useful if this were to ever be used by a future working group. And then lastly, from budget considerations, you know, at least in terms of this draft, it doesn't seem like that there would be any true green dollar type of need for these requests, as many of the UDRP providers have been forthcoming in terms of data that they've collected in regards to the complaints that they've monitored and executed against, as well as any request that the GNSO has asked from contractual compliance or other teams, or, you know, obviously that shouldn't involve green dollars. So in short, this particular use case kind of touches a little bit of all three. I forgot to point out, I did mention in terms of the responsible teams or data, perhaps, you know, is there data that might be useful from a registrar or registry perspective based on what they see from a UDRP complaint perspective, and or, you know, are there complaint types of data that may help inform that as well? You know, again, that's kind of hard to point out at this time because we are kind of looking in the future, but I think if, as we evolve this use case, we may be able to flesh out whether some of that is needed or not. So with that, I really won't go into the details of the second or third use cases other than to just close this out by saying, do ask that working group members take a closer look at this. We welcome suggestions to help enhance the use case. And as we evolve these, then we can start to look at next steps and then try to talk about how this particular use case would traverse the flow that we've talked about and try to flush out what hurdles or issues that may arise based on this type of request as we go through the different use cases. So I'll stop there and turn it back to you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Barry. Are there questions that people have about the idea here? So, Graham, just to put you back on the spot, we talked about this in L.A., and this is uncharted territory, this kind of kabuki policy development. But I wonder if this is a mechanism by which we could trot this out in front of the stakeholder group and try to get reactions as if it was coming for real, and try to figure out what we did right and did wrong, what we could do differently, et cetera, both in terms of the content of the requests and figure out what the best way is to make these requests so that we address the very issues that you're raising. Does that make sense? Yes, sir.
Yeah. This is Graham for the transcript. It's certainly worth a shot. There's a lot of colorful characters within the registrar stakeholder group, but and we talked a little bit about this
because you're boring, right?
Group in our yeah, I'm super boring in comparison to some. So we talked a little bit about this working group in our registrar stakeholder day. And I think we've talked a bit about this before here, is that there's a lot of other things going on and people tend not to pay attention, but I think putting something in front of them and saying, how do you respond to that, might get us some valuable feedback. We may not like it, but I think it's a better shot of getting it. I did push as hard as I could to get some more registrar involvement, but that seems not to be working very well at the moment.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe this is, I mean, obviously work group involvement is a very amorphous demand on people's time. And so maybe this particular request, the scenario that applies to you guys is a more transactional request that you might have more luck with, you know, obviously because it's about doing this better and making it less of a challenge and a burden when the real time comes. Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's Barry. I agree with the approach, especially to what Graham stated, that, you know, at least getting something in front of them is something more tangible than from working group to hallway conversation, so to speak. So I would support that approach. But what I do hope that we do before we get to that stage is that we really mature these use cases put in more definitive requirements of what we might think that particular use case may ask. Because some of these are a little bit pie in the sky, at least in terms of what we have documented here. So, maybe we find the best of breed out of the three and just deliver one. For instance, you know, I kind of think the IRTPD is much more tangible at this stage than what we've just reviewed here with the UDRP URS or our...
It's
our
a different data holder, though, too, right?
It's certainly different data sources, I think, minus the UDRP providers. The parties are still pretty much the same. But again, my point here is I think it'll help to try to make some of this request as real world as possible, as opposed to being a little bit more speculative or general based, because that'll help put I think some teeth around the type of data that's being asked for. To just say, well, yes, we'd like to see complaints from your registrar intake system. That's not going to go very far versus, you know, we're specifically looking at complaints related to transfers and how many failed or something along those lines. So that's just what my ask would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is the best process by which we suss... mature these documents, as you say, if that's a verb. I mean, is it to share them with the group and try to write her to turn this into a kind of a homework assignment to react to things? Is there a way to get a conversation going here and going through the thing part by part? We've done some of that at the front end of this working group, and that's feels like a mechanism that has led to more passivity in some respects. So I wonder if we can find a way. Should we try to come up with little subcommittees of people to deal with each of these and try to make them more mature?
Eric,
sorry, who spoke up?
I'm Jamie. Dead point.
Oh, yes. Hello. Go ahead.
Thank you.
What did he say?
Yes, I'm online.
Okay.
I was off before. Thank you.
Okay. So how do folks feel about dividing up into smaller groups to look at each of these individual data requests and trying to reform them and suss out how to make them closer to what the reality might be before we let them go public and try to get people to react to them in a more general way? Does that seem like a reasonable approach?
For the moment, I don't choose for the moment. I will send a message when I will read it and translate it in French before, please.
Okay. So I guess that would be the point, is that these groups could do this via email, or they could do their own call, but I think
yes,
it could be done via email. I'm sorry? Can you speak up? Okay. So there are three of them here. Can I get some volunteers to take to be in the group to suss out the first one? Or Barry, do you want to give a non-detailed overview of the other two so that people know what the three of them are, and then because they probably didn't get a chance to read them today, and then we can they can know what it is they're signing up for to talk about in their little subcommittees. Barry?
Hi, Jonathan. This is Barry. We have so few participants, I was just going to suggest that, you know, after this call, we send this out to the list. We keep these in redline form. We welcome input from anybody in on the working group to help flush these out further. Between Steve and I, we can compile any edits or changes into a master document and send out revisions on a regular basis. I think in terms of the second one, the IRTPD type of request, that is more detailed because I did have a tangible final report to pull these from to help inform the request. And then in terms of the third one, that was really much more hypothetical. I'm not even sure if it's worthy of continuing down to try to flush that one out or maybe come up with a different example. But really welcome input on our ideas.
Jonathan?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, thanks. Cheryl for the record. I'm fairly keen, to send it to the list, absolutely. I'm fairly keen to maybe focus down on one. I like the best of breed concept that Barry put up with, that put up for us to consider, and his suggestion of the IRTP-B makes a lot of sense to me. That doesn't mean we shelve the others and don't come back to them. Let's work on a best of breed, and then if we need more, we do have more, but I don't think going to hypotheticals is going to help clarity when we take it out to the wild, and we really need to get this stuff out to the wild fairly soon. Thanks.
Okay. Does everybody agree that that's the best one to work from then? I don't know. It's a difficult thing to have everybody vote on something like that, but we can certainly proceed along that way. I'm partly, I think, interested in us coming up with some data requests that don't necessarily involve contracted parties, just because we have to suss out some things internal to ICANN too, like how would a budget be requested and allocated for a third party data provider and things like that. So I think there's more than just contracted parties that are part of this conversation. But certainly IRTP is the most real and the most imminent, and so we could certainly we can try to start with that one. I guess I'm inclined to not just put it out to the whole group because of the bystander effect, but we can give that a try. I think you all have these. You got them from Steve this afternoon, and we can try to get comments back to Steve and Barry over the coming week.
Jonathan, this is Barry. I mean, just to add to the other component to IRTPD is that it covers all parties potentially. It covers ICANN, registries, for example, but granted, this is publicly available data. And I apologize that I didn't go and maybe pick this one to review through earlier, but it also involves contractual compliance and their complaint intake system. Based on some of the content that was posted in the final report, it contains information from registrars in relation to transfers and successes
Sure.
and failures, and based on some of the possible gotchas that we've identified, you know, this allows us to flush out some of those issues. So, you know, if, for example, this data does need to be aggregated or kept confidential, it could assume, you know, the what has been raised by others in the past about engaging a third party that's external to ICANN to collect that data from contracted parties and massage it in a way that, you know, it can't reveal any particular competitive advantage or any particular company. So what I would say from a budget consideration, which I tried to allude to in the chat a little bit earlier, budget considerations in of themselves, I mean, there is an informal process by which a working group could request funds to collect particular data. Right now, the only path is through the GNSO Council, and if it's approved by the Council, then they would send the request over to ICANN. I don't have an understanding of the time frame or amounts or anything like that, other than to say that this is a conversation we're trying to have with staff internally. But I think in terms of the purposes of this use case and exercise, as I highlighted in the comment here, let's just assume, for sake of argument now, that there is money available. Let's not worry about whether it's there or not or how we're going to get it or even how much it may be. But, you know, let's just assume that it's there so that if, in fact, registrars were interested in engaging that third party to aggregate the data, what would that request look like to them? You know, as we try to flesh
right.
that out, is that something that would potentially maybe have to, you know, follow RFP guidelines set by ICANN if they were the ones to be the pay for it? But, you know, those kinds of components, again, we can try to flesh out later in working group deliberations. Let's just assume that funds are there so that we can move this one forward. Thank you.
Okay, then I'll phrase it another way. Does anybody have any objection to choosing this scenario and trying to flesh out this data request over the coming week via email and getting comments back and to Steve and Barry and having a conversation on the list about how to make this better and more realistic so that we can try to, you know, put it out in the wild, as Cheryl said. Okay. So then I guess the we're going to do that. The next thing on the process is to look at what next steps are. I think that the next step will be to, after we go through this, is to actually try to put it in front of people and figure out what kinds of documents we need to generate, templates, et cetera, that we need to generate in the future from that experience. When do you guys want to try to meet again? Steve, you have your hand up.
This is Steve for the transcript. Thanks, Jonathan. I just had a quick comment about when this document is shared with the wild. I think it might be useful to actually just to take a step back. I think what we're trying to do is remove barriers for parties wanting to say no to a data request. And so towards that goal, I think it might be useful to work on kind of an executive summary or perhaps like a cover letter that rides with this document that sits on top and says, a data-driven process is important. So you're working on issues that are affecting parties in a material way. You make better policy. And then after the policy is actually implemented, then you want to make sure that these policies are actually working. So I think it might be useful perhaps to have a kind of like a cover letter to this before we take it to the wild.
I think that's a very good idea. So as part of people's comments, let's think about what should go into, think about what might go into a cover letter, and we'll draft something like that as well. I think that's a good idea.
This is Steve. I think Barry and I can probably take a stab at an initial draft for that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions about what we're doing? Suggestions, comments, objections. Okay. When do you guys want to try to meet again in a week, or is that too soon?
Jonathan, this is Barry. I think we are scheduled just 2 weeks from now for the regular schedule. And this is Barry again, just to point out that Steve also did send out a copy of the project plan, and it does have the dates of expected meetings through the end of the year and carrying over into the first couple of weeks into next year. And something that the working group may want to start thinking about, it'll be February before we know it, which is the ICANN 52 meeting that'll be in Singapore. I'm not sure what the working group intends in terms of delivery, but if we want to target that time frame to try to have an initial report, that's something that we should probably start to work towards. That will carry on. I'm not saying that our deliverables are dictated by ICANN meetings. In fact, sometimes they collide. But so that everybody's aware, take a closer look at the project plan. You'll see the dates of when we plan to meet, and it also extends out when we might try to deliver on an initial report in the public comment period. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, unless there's anything else, I think that's it for today. Thanks, everyone.
Right.
Enjoy your 2 free minutes.
That one's a lot. So, thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.